Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brother Thompson, I think this is for you. Do you believe? Do you believe?
They sang Do You Believe with Bill Thompson in the congregation at the Mount Moriah AME Church in Cambria Heights yesterday. But do you believe this?
We're looking at our poll numbers that say we're down somewhere between 3 points and 7 points. So I'm enthused by that. We've been closing the gap. And right now this is still all about who comes out and votes on Tuesday.
3 to 7 points. Or if you're going to vote tomorrow in New York City, are you more likely to say amen to this?
It's up to you to decide whether we keep making progress or it's politics as usual. It is up to all of us. Because we've made a lot of progress over the past 8 years, and I believe the next 4 years can be even better.
Election day minus one. Let's cruise the Empire State first with Edward Isaac Dover, editor of City Hall and The Capitol online newspapers. Hi, Isaac. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
First, where do those Thompson poll numbers come from? 3 to 7 points down. That's a lot closer than the independent polls that, you know, we generally see have been saying. Do you know where they come from and who believes them?
Well, they are coming from an internal poll that the Thompson campaign commissioned. They have been the source of much controversy since the campaign put them out on Thursday. The Bloomberg campaign has pointed out that there isn't another independent poll that is anything like that. And in fact, a poll that came out this morning has the mayor up by a smaller margin than he had been up, but still by 12 points, which is far past where the Thompson internal campaign poll had.
So either way, how crucial is turnout for Bill Thompson? What is his path to possible victory?
Well, turnout is the key to this. I don't think it's a mistake that the mayor has been pushing so hard in these last couple of weeks, and especially in these last couple of days. He spent the weekend running around the city. His schedule today is pretty packed, all the way down to spending the evening at a pub in Brooklyn to watch Game 5 of the World Series. He is trying to make sure that he gets as many votes as possible. There are some who interpret this as him being concerned about winning the election, and there are others who interpret it as him just wanting to basically run up the score as much as possible so that when he comes in for a third term, he has as big a mandate as possible.
I'm looking at your online newspaper, City Hall, right now, today's edition, and it says, in final days, weak support from state Democrats or working families for Thompson. What's the story? Mm-hmm.
Well, the state Democratic Party has had said that they were going to come out strong for Bill Thompson once the primary was over. They had not really done anything for him over the course of the summer, and the argument that was advanced then was that he was in a primary with City Councilman Tony Avella. And even though most people assumed, and in the end rightly, that Thompson would win by a lot, the party said that they couldn't get involved in a primary. People on the outside said in 2005, when Freddie Ferrer was running against Mike Bloomberg, the state Democratic Party attacked the mayor quite a bit, did whatever they could to throw dirt on the mayor's record. But they've been pretty silent for this election cycle. And the Working Families Party, though they had a very good year in the primaries, does not seem to have prioritized Bill Thompson's race.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls. Let's take them from the from a few people. How are you being contacted by either of the campaigns? Let's crowdsource this. What is the Get Out the Vote effort looking like in your voicemail, in your email inbox, in your snail mailbox? 212-433-WNYC. If you're in New York City, how is the Thompson campaign approaching you? How is the Bloomberg campaign approaching you? How are they trying to get out your vote? Are there any robocalls you're getting? Anything to you that smacks of dirty politics in any way, shape, or form, which sometimes comes up and rears its ugly head in the hours before an election day? How are they trying to get out your vote? And anybody who is still ambivalent in the mayoral race, call up and talk about your indecision. 212-433-WNYC. for Edward Isaac Dauvert from City Hall and the Capitol, the online newspapers, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Isaac, talk about those turnout the vote operations. What's the strength in Thompson's? What's the strength in Bloomberg's?
Well, look, the mayor has put a lot of money into the campaign, as I think everybody knows by now. He will have, by the end of this campaign, shattered all previous records for campaign spending, including the one that it was previously held by him. And that has brought a lot of commercials, and I think people have gotten used to seeing them just about every commercial break on every TV station that they watch. But in addition to that, it's bought a very sophisticated get-out-the-vote operation from a voter file, which is sort of legendary in the political community, is this having all the information that they could have to identify voters in every way and how to appeal to each kind of voter, and then having an operation to make sure that those voters, once they've been identified, are appealed to in as many ways as possible, and then getting them to the polls tomorrow. Thompson's campaign is going to be relying on the institutional support that he hopes to have from a lot of the Democratic officials who have endorsed him. Of course, this is where the Democratic Party and the Working Families Party might have been able to lend him some help. And since they, from the people that I've talked to, seem to have basically written off the idea of Thompson winning, had decided to leave this alone as an interest for getting out the vote for him.
And I guess we see that in the presence of Barack Obama yesterday for John Corzine in New Jersey, which we'll talk about later in the program. He went to Camden and he went to Newark, apparently to turn out an urban and African-American vote for the incumbent governor. He could have gone to similar neighborhoods in New York City where people would be very jazzed to see Obama. And if he was making a case for Bill Thompson, probably would have done something for turnout. Bill Clinton, the former president, his voice was making calls to registered New Jersey Democrats over the weekend, urging people to get out and vote for John Corzine. We obviously don't see that in New York for Bill Thompson. So there's that weak Democratic Party support. You know, you talk about the mayor spending his money on, you know, all the possible ways to work the system, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community. What I noticed over the weekend was that after 6 weeks of relentlessly attacking Bill Thompson, the mayor's media juggernaut went warm and fuzzy. His TV commercials suddenly were soft and earnest and positive. The latest glossy that I got in the mail Saturday was a collection of graphics of 56 citywide and community newspapers and, you know, their mastheads and what they look like that have endorsed Bloomberg for reelection. So I guess he's doing the classic campaign tactics of, if you look over the last 3-4 months, reintroduce yourself, attack your opponent hard, and then come back warm and fuzzy and positive on the end. These are the classic tactics, just on the steroids of a $100 million budget.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking with the mayor's campaign manager 2 weeks ago, and I asked him to sort of summarize his approach to the campaign, and he said it's not rocket science. They feel like they can run a strong, strengthened by the money, but strong campaign, boasting of the record that the mayor has, which they feel is very good, and just do it in a very efficient but standard way of going out there and presenting the message and doing things that are normal for campaigns to do. There haven't been really that many surprises in the way the mayor has structured, or the mayor's campaign team has structured the effort. And I think you're right. There was a lot of negative campaigning for a lot of political observers. It was causing snickers with the mayor's slogan of progress, not politics. There was a lot of very traditional politics going on over the course of this race.
Nick, on the Upper West Side, which campaign is contacting you?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Nick.
In the past week, I've received countless robocalls from Bloomberg on the Upper West Side, including 3 yesterday, starting at 8:30 in the morning. And also a lot of very glossy folders and pamphlets from Bloomberg. I've received, I think, 1 or 2 things from Bill Thompson and no robocalls at all from him.
What were in the robocalls that you got yesterday? What was whose voice? What was the content?
It wasn't a candidate's voice. It was a woman, and she just you know, asked me, you know, it was a machine. It was just telling me how great his record was and make sure to get out and vote. And there isn't really any choice except Bloomberg. And it was very, very, it was real hard sell.
Nick, thank you very much. Nicola in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Are you getting contacted, Nicola?
Yes. Actually, a while ago I was contacted by the Bloomberg campaign, and I told them, listen, you don't need to call me again because I'm definitely voting for Thompson. 2 months later, they called me, and I said again, guys, I'm voting for Thompson. It's not going to change.
So these were actual people calling to make a case, and you had actual conversations with them?
Yes, I did.
All right. And what was, did they make a case, or did you just cut them off too soon to hear what it was?
I cut them off right away.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
I decided a long time ago.
You decided a long time ago. Are you disappointed when you see the president going to Newark and Camden in the New Jersey race, but not coming to your neighborhood or elsewhere in the city?
No, not really. In a way, I understand it's about politics, and Thompson has to just get out there and do what he has to do. Well, he did. Actually, he was here in Harlem. He came through with a 6 or 7 car motorcade, and, you know, he walked around and shook some hands. So I understand why Obama didn't come.
Thank you very much. Ben in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Who's contacting you?
This is about the city council. This is not about the mayoral race.
Okay.
But a city council candidate, I guess on the Republican side in Brooklyn, seems to have done something completely insane, which is he printed up fake parking tickets and put them on under everyone's windshield. This morning is the last day of alternate side parking before the election.
Uh-huh.
So everyone came out on the block to move their cars. They all, had all been ticketed. And on the ticket is this council member's rant about taxes and parking, and it just seems he just made everyone furious.
Huh.
And I called his machine to let him know this is a big mistake. And it's just a long apology on his machine saying, you know, don't take your anger out on me. Take it to the polls, etc.
Right.
But
so what do you think the point was supposed to be of these fake parking tickets?
I think that...
Because it wasn't like he was trying,
you know, to... It gets everyone's attention and it motivates you, but it motivates you through anger and fear. And it just shows that this guy, whoever he is, does not understand Brownstone Brooklyn at all and should not be representing us.
Who's your incumbent? Do you know?
I think it's de Blasio, and he's leaving. So
oh.
I think it's the Republican who's trying to replace de Blasio.
Ben, thank you for your call. Edward Isaac Dover from City Hall newspaper. Do you know that race? Do you know who that candidate might be?
Well, it's a Republican candidate running in a district. I mean, if it is Bill de Blasio's district, that is very heavily leaning towards the Democrats in registration.
Right.
And the Democratic nominee is
going to
win. Lander. He's named Brad Lander.
Oh, Brad Lander. That's the Brad Lander
race.
Longtime housing and tenants and affordable housing activist Brad Lander, who's a shoo-in. I mean, that's not a race. Most of the city council races are not real races in the general election. But let's go on to some that are. Let's use that as a jumping-off point. There are some contested city council seats in play, including another one in Brooklyn, where a legendary Democratic Party poll is being challenged by a Working Families Party candidate. You following that race?
Sure. That's the Al Vann, Mark Winston Griffith race. It's actually something of a rematch. Mark Winston Griffith ran against Al Vann in the Democratic primary.
Well, so did about 9 other people, right?
Exactly.
And wasn't this a situation where Vann got, do you know the number? Did he get something like 20% to get him in?
I think it was 29%.
Right, but which was enough to finish first and get him the Democratic Party line for his reelection.
Right, but for a man who's been representing that area for 27 years, that was enough to make Mark Winston Griffith think that if he ran again in the general election, which is an option he had because he was also the Working Families Party nominee, he might do better in a head-to-head race. And indeed, he's gotten quite a bit of support that seems to have surprised Vann. Al Sharpton had endorsed Griffith in the primary and then held to that endorsement for the general election. Charles Barron, who represents a neighboring district in the city council, also has endorsed Mark Winston Griffith. And there's a feeling that perhaps with the right kind of effort, excuse me, and the right kind of tide behind the working families, as they've had a strong year, that Griffith might be able to take Vann out in the general election. That would be, I believe, the first time that the Working Families Party in a regular general election race would have won an election over a Democratic candidate.
David on the Upper East Side said he got an actual polling call, or at least he thinks it was. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You were polled?
I was polled by a live person whether I was going to vote for Bloomberg or not, and I'm running on his ticket. I'm running for Manhattan Borough President. And I said, just a moment, don't you even know that I'm on his ticket? Phil says, no, are you going to vote for him? And I said, well, Bloomberg hasn't helped me out. I needed one or two very small things, and he's trying to keep arm's length from the Republican Party. And I said, fine, now you're calling up to find out if I'm going to vote for him. And by the way, I got a ticket this morning, too.
A fake ticket in the form of a campaign flyer?
It appears to be. I was so annoyed. I just.
But you're not in Brooklyn. You're on the Upper East Side. So
yeah.
Who would that candidate have been?
I don't know.
Don't know. All right.
I'm sorry. It just was ridiculous. I would have liked one little bit of support.
Yeah. And David, from your point of view, since there's no chance of a Republican beating Scott Stringer for Manhattan Borough President, why do you do it?
I'm just doing it to eliminate the borough presidencies. It's only one plank in my platform, to get rid of all of them. And they're a waste of money, and I actually went to D.C. 37 because I was a member of D.C. 37. I asked them to support me because I wanted the money that we were saved to go to call back the people who were unemployed at D.C. 37 because ultimately they're all city employees, and we're spending an awful lot of money on borough presidencies that really don't produce much. They're nearly useless. It's a layer of government that can be removed.
David, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And Isaac Dover, someone else tells us that they got a call from someone asking if he was going to vote. Then they asked, what time? Have you heard of that before? And why might somebody call up on a Sunday and ask that?
You've got me stumped, Brian. I don't know.
All right. Another city councilor, I think, you know, maybe I thought maybe it's somebody's get out the vote effort. If they also asked who they're going to vote for, and I don't have that information if that was asked, but then, would you like a van to come and pick you up? But I guess it didn't get that far. In Bayside, Queens, the seat formerly held in city council by Tony Avella, or currently held, but he's leaving office after the end of the year. Avella, who ran for mayor in the Democratic primary. We have the Democratic primary winner in that district, Kevin Kim, who would become the first Korean-American elected official in the city, and an aggressive Republican in a district that does vote Republican sometimes. They have a Republican state senator, Frank Padovan, there, for example. Tough contest?
Well, it remains to be seen. That was another race where there was a tight Democratic primary. Kevin Kim was, I think it was a four-way race that he ended up winning. And Halloran, who is Dan Halloran, is the Republican candidate there. He, as you said, is relying on the district to show its Republican roots. Before Tony Avella held the seat, it was held by a Republican. It is a district that could send a Republican back to the city council. But that race is getting very, very nasty. There was an incident yesterday with Kevin Kim accusing Dan Halloran of having ties to an anti-Semitic group, and Dan Halloran's campaign sent some people to protest an event that Kim was doing, and it got so raucous that the police had to be called in. So it's really unclear how they'll all shake out once the votes are counted tomorrow.
And the Village Voice reported last week that the Republican would be Dan Halloran would be the first ever openly pagan elected official in the United States. What's that about?
Well, just after the primary, a report came out that Halloran is a practicing theodist, I think is the way it's pronounced.
What's the word? Sorry, you broke up there.
It's a theodist or a theodist, and that's a pagan sect that people, it's a sort of Christian pagan sect that people don't really know that much about.
Christian.
It's not clear.
Christian.
Well,
pagan.
I mean, it's pagan with some sort of. I actually won't claim to speak right. for exactly how it works. It's not clear, I think, to a lot of people what what it really consists of, or to what extent Halloran is really involved in it. But
is Kim using this? Because, you know, to my lights, this is completely beside the point, and I'm only mentioning it because it was in, a number of other media outlets and people are talking about it. But this would not be a reason to. This is just not relevant to the race, unless you tell me that it is in some way. Somebody's religious beliefs.
Kim has been trying to make a big deal out of it. I think what you see on the other side that
how is Kim using it? How is Kim using it?
They refer to him as a pagan lord. Yesterday, through this Village Voice article that sort of looked into some of the connections to the sect that Halloran is part of, they linked him to anti-Semitic stuff and said that he's connected to white supremacists as well. And so it's just
fairly or unfairly or unfairly.
I think that depends on who you ask. Halloran's people say that it doesn't really work.
If it's 6 degrees of separation from this particular sect has some ties to some other organization that also has ties to some other organization that's been white supremacist.
Right. And what happened, it seems to be that a website that is a white supremacist website said that Halloran winning would be a victory for white supremacists. That doesn't necessarily mean that Halloran believes that his victory would be a victory for white supremacists.
But the Kim campaign is actually going there.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick round robin. Nassau County Executive Tom Suozzi is or isn't a shoo-in for re-election?
I think he is a shoo-in for re-election. The question there is probably going to be how big the margin is. Suozzi is somebody who is looked at as a likely statewide candidate, with some people thinking he'll run for attorney general, some maybe that he'll run for governor again, and then there's been a rumor floating around political world that he might actually get into a race against Kirsten Gillibrand next year for Senate.
Any big issue in the Nassau County race?
In Nassau County, it's always about taxes and property taxes and how much money is coming out and from each one of the voters' pockets and how the money's being spent. So that's what they've been arguing about there.
Same for Westchester. Spano, a shoo-in for re-election or not? I hear a lot on conservative talk about his opponents.
I think there the margin of victory won't be quite as large, but most people do expect Spano to win against Rob Astorino there. But Astorino is pushing hard, and he's gotten a lot of support. What's working against him is that Westchester has just moved increasingly Democratic over the past couple of years in terms of voter registration.
Is it about property taxes there too?
That's always an issue. Nobody ever beats that Nassau County for being concerned with property taxes. But that's always something that's talked about in Westchester. And Astorino has actually pushed closing day slogan is something like 48 hours until tax relief. He's really trying to make an issue out of that.
And the upstate congressional race that the whole country is talking about now?
Well, that race has gotten very confusing over the last couple of days. Didi Scozzafonda, who was the moderate Republican running, dropped out on Saturday. Everybody thought that would just shake things up a lot. And then on Sunday, she endorsed the Democrat. She's now being called a traitor by all sorts of Republicans. There's a poll that came out this morning that had the Conservative Party candidate, Doug Hoffman, up by a few points over the Democrat there. But how over these very strange couple of hours before the polls open tomorrow, voters who were Scozzafava voters will go, or who will turn out, and how the different forces that have now been jumbled around will be able to deal with the fact that the candidate they thought they would be coming out for is not necessarily the candidate that they will be coming out for tomorrow.
So this push and pull between the conservative wing and moderate wing, so-called of the Republican Party in that district, from what you can tell, is that just about those local politics in the Adirondacks or anything more central to Northeast or even national Republicanism, in the year after the Republicans took such a drubbing nationwide when the future of the party is at stake? Is this a bellwether for something or for, nothing outside of Saranac Lake?
Well, I think what you've seen is that a lot of that this has in some ways become the first primary of the 2012 Republican presidential election. Sarah Palin was the first to really jump on board with the Conservative Party candidate. She was followed by Tim Pawlenty, the governor of Minnesota, Fred Thompson. Newt Gingrich had endorsed Scozzafafa, the Republican, and he told the New York Times over the weekend that the Republican Party is making a big mistake by not embracing moderate Republicans and that this is
really?
A sure way to make...
Newt Gingrich said that, huh?
He said something like, if the Republicans don't learn how to integrate moderates into the party, they'll make Nancy Pelosi Speaker of the House for life.
So. And back to the city for one last thing. John Liu is a shoo-in for controller, but there's this nagging campaign against him by some Asian New York media outlets who say he's too close to the government of China, or what they call communist China. Have you looked into that at all?
This is largely things that are propagated by a paper called the Epoch Times, which is connected with the Falun Gong sect. They don't like John Liu, and they've made that very clear. I don't know how we can actually draw a connection between a city councilman in communist China or even a comptroller in communist China in a way that quite makes sense. They have a number of different things that they offer as proof, but a lot of other media have looked at it and haven't been able to see anything substantial there.
Edward Isaac Dover, editor and publisher of City Hall and The Capital, the online newspapers covering New York City politics and New York State politics, respectively. Isaac, thanks a lot for doing this tour of political New York on the day before the election.
It's been fun. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder, I'll be here tomorrow night for Election Returns with the WNYC News team and our partners at WBGO Newark tomorrow night. We begin at 8 p.m. Hope you can join us tomorrow night on WNYC or WNYC.org. We'll get into the New Jersey races in a little while. We'll talk to Jonathan Safran Foer this hour on converting to vegetarianism and even breaking into a factory farm. Novelist turned activist, changed his eating habits after doing research for this book. And coming up in a minute, if government spending got us out of the recession, should there be a stimulus too? Brian Lehrer on WNYC.